Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkando Wire, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. The Lord is good.
Oh, fantastic. Great to hear that. Well, we're going to be talking with you this particular week about, forgiveness, I think, until Friday. And it's one of the more difficult tasks that we've been given as Christians. It is forgiveness. And so this week, we're going to be going through some common questions and concerns regarding forgiveness and getting a holistic understanding of what is required of us and why it matters in our faith. So, Pastor, before we get into it, let's just lay the grounds first and understand the concept of forgiveness. What is forgiveness?
Well, I like to think of it as an intentional decision to let go or put aside resentment or anger. Like an act of exonerating a wrongdoer from their wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to think it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Exonerating the wrongdoer from their wrongs, that is forgiveness.
Yes.
And so with forgiveness, it looks like the state of forgiveness may be closely related to love. Is there a relationship between love and forgiveness?
Yes, there is. Forgiveness is impossible without love. Love is the force behind forgiveness. It is what makes forgiveness possible. Like you said in the introduction, forgiveness as a concept is the one of the hardest things that God demands of us. But it is made possible by love. And so that is a relationship that exists between forgiveness and love. Love makes forgiveness possible. It is the force behind forgiveness.
Now, when you say love, I think I know that it's not our topic today, but there are times when you are wronged by a stranger. For instance, you discover somebody that has, murdered your loved one, and you happen to get face to face with them, and you have to forgive them. There's no love there, though. Is there any love in that?
There must be. It should be the reason for your forgiveness, or else.
Is that you love them? Because this is a total stranger. In fact, they've done you wrong.
Mm-hmm. The fact that they are a total stranger does not mean that you cannot love them or that you should not love them.
Mm.
Now, the idea of loving a stranger who has wronged you so deeply, as in murdered your loved ones, the idea of love, the love that you have, that you ought to have for a person like that, it is not where you hug them and not so much so.
Mm-mm.
But the fact that they are human and created in the eyes of God, and that you understand, and because they are human, they erred in the matter. And so love is the idea of seeing somebody who has done wrong and say, their wrong was error on their part.
Okay, all right.
That's what love means.
Ah.
That's the kind of love that we ought to have, because the idea of forgiving a murderer, for example, of your daughter, your son, is the hardest thing to do. And so love equates the amount of forgiveness that we give for a lost ballpoint or a lost daughter as a result of murder. And so the forgiveness you give to somebody who stole a simple ballpoint and somebody who murdered somebody else, the amount of forgiveness you give to both is equated by love. Exactly.
Okay. Quite interesting indeed. Now, Is forgiveness a must? Is it a must?
It is a must. This is what the Bible says.
So we don't have a choice in the matter.
No, we don't. we do have a choice. We do have a choice in everything, actually. Mm-hmm. Everything concerning our lives, we make our own choices. We are not forced to make any choice.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is ours.
Okay.
But the reason love becomes compulsory, forgiveness becomes compulsory, is because love is.
Okay. All right.
So because love is compulsory, and so forgiveness becomes itself compulsory because it is that which is moved by the force of love. Now, Matthew chapter 6 tells us of the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer to his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lord's Prayer, he then says, "Forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors."
Mm-hmm.
And then after he teaches the Lord's Prayer, in verse 14 and 15, he makes a comment. This is Jesus' commentary of the Lord's Prayer. He explains the concept of forgiveness. Out of all the aspects of the Lord's Prayer, he only chooses forgiveness to explain. Mm. And so he explains that in verse 14 and 15. And then he says, in explaining, that if you don't forgive your brother, God finds it hard to forgive you. And so if you want to be forgiven by God of your own sins, your own wrongdoing, ought to have forgiven somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He repeats this concept in Matthew chapter 18. And so in chapter 18, he tells it an entire parable on the aspect of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And at the end of that parable, the parable begins at verse 21.
Mm.
But in verse 31, at the end of the parable, he then says that if you don't forgive others, you yourself cannot be forgiven by God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say God cannot forgive, you are talking about a very deep thing. It's deep that God cannot forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing God cannot do. But when you say God cannot forgive it, you are simply saying you have blocked him from forgiving. That's what Jesus is teaching in concept of forgiveness. And that's what makes forgiveness compulsory, because it is it ought to be done first before it is done to us and for us.
Now, is love the reason why we have to forgive, or are there other reasons why we must forgive?
There are two reasons why we must forgive.
Mm.
The first reason is so that we be forgiven ourselves. That's what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer and in Matthew chapter 18 when he repeats the concept later on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The first reason is so that we may be forgiven ourselves. That's right. Why we must forgive.
Mm.
And then the second reason is because we love. Now, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he explains what love does, what love is in the love chapter, he says, love does not keep grudges. It does not boast. It doesn't envy. It doesn't do all evil things.
Yeah.
Instead, it forgives. It forbears. It is long-suffering and all those things. And so the second reason is because love is the force behind forgiveness. And so those are the two reasons why we must forgive, because we love and because we want to be forgiven ourselves.
Ah, because we love and we also would like to be forgiven ourselves. Now, there's a teaching, a common teaching that, you know, forgiveness is for the benefit of the forgiver rather than You know, the forgiven. I wonder, though, if that is true. Please do tell us more about that. And if so, what does God gain when he forgives me if the forgiver benefits rather than forgiven? Please just maybe explain this if it is at all true, and take it further to the example of God, please.
You earlier asked about whether forgiveness is compulsory. Let me try to couple the two to answer the question.
Right.
So, the reason that forgiveness becomes beneficial to the forgiver is because they are enlightened about what the result of that forgiveness is. And so, I'm not forced, I'm not mandated to forgive. Nor is Christ's teaching a mandate. It is rather an enlightenment about what forgiveness is. Mm. And so being enlightened, when I forgive, I realize it is for my good that I forgive.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I need forgiveness because I have sinned. And so because I have sinned, I need forgiveness.
Okay.
But for me to be forgiven, I need to forgive others. If I were clean and pure and sinless, I can withhold my forgiveness. Even though it is for my benefit, I can withhold it and say, I have no need of forgiveness myself, so I will not forgive another. Whatever benefit it brings, I don't need them. Because I am sinless, I need no forgiveness.
Mm.
But when I am a sinner in need of forgiveness myself, God says, you must come to me for forgiveness, having forgiven another first. Then forgiveness becomes a benefit to me. As far as God is concerned, he has done no wrong. He needs no forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so, being God, he is not benefited by forgiving us, because after all, he doesn't need us.
Mm.
Because it is his love that he forgives us. So he forgives us out of love, because we are his creatures and he loves us, and so he forgives us. And yet it does not benefit him. It changes nothing about him, the fact that he forgives us, simply because he has done no wrong. But for me, a human being who has done wrong, I need my own forgiveness. But God says, you know, you first have to forgive. The idea of forgiving, as far as I see it in Matthew chapter 18 especially, is the fact that when one is forgiven, then they understand what it takes to forgive another.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's the idea.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, much as you benefit from forgiving another person, and there's a lot that it does for you as a forgiver. Mm-hmm. We seem to be downplaying the benefit or what the forgiven derives from it. Is that intentional?
Sorry. Would you please repeat the question?
I'm saying that it looks like the benefit that is enjoyed by the one who is forgiven is downplayed. Mm-hmm. It's as though they're not benefiting anything from this forgiveness, but the one who is being forgiven.
Ah, okay, I get the question. So the fact is that as far as Matthew 18 is concerned, forgiveness benefits both the forgiver and the one forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But for the one who is forgiving, the forgiver, it releases them from resentment and anger.
I see.
As a result, Christ feels it is more needful that the forgiver forgives. And that is why, as Christians, we are not to wait until one apologizes. Because that is the example that God gives us. Before we apologize, while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to come and die for us. In the garden, before Adam and Eve realized that they needed forgiveness, He came seeking them. And when Jesus Christ came on earth, he tells us that he came to seek and save that which was lost. So before we even thought to ask for forgiveness, Christ came to seek us, to give us forgiveness. And as a result from that example, we know that we need not even wait for the wrongdoer to seek forgiveness. Mm. And so being released from resentment and anger and all those negative emotions that come with being wronged, we are released, so much so that even before, even if the wrongdoer never asks for forgiveness, mm. we are free from the burden of the wrong that they committed against us, because we forgave. And so we let go of all the negative emotions that came with the wrongdoing. Mm. That's what forgiveness does to benefit the forgiver.
Well, Pastor, this was the introduction to this whole week, as we're going to be talking about forgiveness. As we start off this discussion that's going to be lasting us the whole week, what is or are some of the things that you just like to highlight out there to the listener so that we can keep in mind as we are going to be getting through this discussion?
All right. Two texts come to mind. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, and Psalm 103, verse 8 to 12. These are very powerful texts, and this is good assurance. I think this is gospel in itself. Mm. In these two texts, beginning with Isaiah, God says that he will blot out the sins of those who love him, those who trust him, those who confess their sins. He will blot out their sins so much so that he will remember them no more. He will remove them as far as the east is from the west. That's how God would deal with our sins, if we confess them. And then in Psalms, he then says, it is in Psalms that he says that he will remove them as far as they are, as the east is from us, because he is so loving, he does not deal with us according to our sins, yet he deals with us according to his mercies. So when we talk about the concept of forgiveness, I like to think of it as an invitation by God for us to go to his throne, lay bare all our sins so we may be washed and forgiven. And so before we even think about forgiving others, we have this assurance that our own sins would be forgiven and they will be removed from us as far as the east is
from the west.
From the west.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, we are going to be talking to you again, I think, tomorrow, as we continue to actually talk about this very important subject of forgiveness. But for today, I do want to thank you so much for coming through, and of course, appreciate that you have made time to actually speak to God's people about this. Thank you very much. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much, and blessings to you too and the people of God.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.